This is the In Focus podcast from The Hindu.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the In Focus podcast. I'm your host, G. Sampath. After repeated nudging and prodding from the Supreme Court, the State Bank of India has finally disclosed the full details of the electoral bonds bought and redeemed, and the Election Commission has now made the data public. Let us bear in mind that the electoral bond has been established now as a mode of political funding that is patently unconstitutional, that it undermines a level playing field and is conducive to corrupt practices as well. So now that we have details of who gave how much to which party and when, what do the numbers tell us? Were the fears of electoral bonds damaging free and fair elections justified? Are there sufficient grounds to suspect a quid pro quo? We discuss the electoral bond disclosures at length in this episode of In Focus, and we have with us Vignesh Radhakrishnan from the Hindu's data team. Vignesh, welcome to In Focus and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for inviting me, sir.
Vignesh, so the first set of disclosures on the electoral bonds came some time back, but they were without the unique alphanumeric numbers or codes which we got yesterday only. And these numbers are essential for matching donors to the beneficiary political parties. So can you talk a little bit about how easy or difficult it was to wade through all this data and find meaningful patterns on which one can make some kind of, you know, intelligent judgments on what's been going on?
So when the first set of data was released, which is two different silos, one is for the purchasers of the bond and another is for the encashers, we were struggling to put out a story because, yes, this fact that these people, the parties which encashed, this is already in public domain, that how much each party got through electoral bond route. So the only new information was that the donors. So we concentrated mostly on that. But however, connections could not be made. So initially what we did was very simple. We divided the electoral bond scheme into 30 tranches, because till now the electoral bond have been issued and encashed in 30 windows, starting from the inception. So we divided it into 30 tranches and we able to look at each tranche individually and check who gave money or purchased bonds.
So when you say, Vignesh, 30 tranches from the inception, now we are only dealing with bonds from April 2019, right? We don't know, we're not dealing with the bonds from March 2018. So what about those tranches between March 2018 and 2019?
That's correct. We are dealing with only from the tranche number 9.
Okay.
So we do not know till now. I mean, we know in parts, I'll come to that later, but we do not, there is no information for the first 8 tranches. I'm telling because during the data dump, which the ECI gave some days back, which was all the parties were asked to write to the Supreme Election Commission regarding what, who gave them the donations, for which some parties like the DMK, ADMK, and NCP wrote with the donor names. But however, BJP and the Congress did not. They just gave some transactions. So that information has some, from there we got some data on the first 8 tranches, but that was not coherent because the biggest encashers like BJP, Congress, and even Trinamool had not named the donors. So most of the data we are dealing with is from window 9 to window 30. That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah. So the next problem is yesterday when the unique numbers were, the data was released, it was quite comprehensive. But the problem was that initially the bond numbers were not unique. So the bond numbers each, for example, let's take a bond number of 7892, right? So there were 2 transactions in the same bond number. There were actually most of the bond numbers, about 90% of them had 2 transactions. So we were stumped to start with. But then there was this additional information, which is one more column given data called prefix. So that column told us whether it was, it was the prefix for one row was, let's say, OL, which means 1 lakh. So it was basically denomination. And it was, if it is OR, it is one, or OC, 1 crore. So we were able to, you know, combine these two data and make each column unique. Sorry, each row unique. If we had not been able to achieve that, none of the storage could have come. Because if there are duplicates in bond numbers, this could not have been possible. So that was one big problem that we faced yesterday. Now, as far as the other major problem that we faced in the first time when they released separately and now with the numbers, is that the same company names will be spelled differently. Like, for example, Future Gaming, which is the biggest genre, will be spelled without limited in one of the rows, with limited, or maybe gaming will be missing. So there are some 4 to 5 variations for each company. Vedanta Limited, LIMITED, it will be in one transaction. Vedanta LTD will be in another transaction. So every time they donated at a different window, the names of the companies kept on changing. So Mega was misspelled, or various spellings of Mega. Mail, which is the second biggest donor, were misspelled, or the names kept on changing for about 5 times. So that was one major struggle. We had to first wade through the data and take all the combination, spelling combinations into, so that we don't miss any transaction. The other big challenge was subsidiaries. For example, I think there is this company called Western Transmission. So they were a subsidiary of Mail. So this we did not know. This, for that you had to Google, and or you have to go to the MCA, Ministry of Corporate Affairs, check whether they are indeed a subsidiary, or they share maybe the premises, or the managing directors are the same. So this was a major challenge, because there was this 3 set of companies. This was a major challenge in these 3 set of companies, which are called Keventer, MKJ Group, and one more was Madanlal. All these 3 companies sounds extremely different, but they all share same address. And all the 3 of them share at least 1 common managing director or director. So this was a big trouble, because a lot of firms were donating money, not just through one of their companies, but multiple companies which they own. So also there were some companies like Quick, which was extremely new to us. But then we have to again go to Ministry of Corporate Affairs, check what this company is about. Then we find out that Reliance has connections to this company.
So how did you make sense of the fact that, like you mentioned, Keventers and Quick, and these are 2 names which have come up repeatedly in the discourse last couple of days. They have donated some 10 times, 100 times their profit. Like, how is that? How do we make sense of that?
Right, that's the problem, right? For example, before lateral bond scheme was introduced, so companies can only donate up to, I think, 7.5% of their profit. And loss-making companies were never allowed to donate. And I think there were some stipulations regarding foreign companies. They cannot donate, or the companies, foreign companies having subsidiary relations to Indian companies cannot. There are so many stipulations which were removed after, the electoral bond scheme was introduced, which is why I think in one of the stories which we did some time back, which someone days before, we had mentioned that new firms, like, for example, there are 3 new firms which were started in 2023. And immediately in 2 to 3 months after starting, they donated. Like all these firms, to whom I'm yet to find out, but all these 3 firms are in Hyderabad. So I'm suspecting BRS, but we have to go and check to whom they donated. So this is just within months. And there are some other companies which were set up in about 2020, 2021, which are the pandemic years, peak pandemic years, right? And they set up the company, and immediately in 1 year, which is all, the economy is in crisis, they were able to donate in about more than 20 crores. To various firms. I'm here to check who they donated to, right? So these are all questionable things, who these companies are, what other companies do they own, why did they start and immediately buy a bond? And also, we are not talking about 1 lakh or 2 lakh here. It's running in crores, right? So those are some interesting things that...
Right. I mean, it's really fascinating to hear you talk about the process the data team went through in sort of decoding all these numbers. Vignesh, thank you for that. I mean, I was just thinking, you mentioned about, you know, the same entity using different spellings for their company names. I mean, if I'm giving a check for 500 rupees, if I make a spelling mistake in 500, I have to give a new check, you know. Here, you're giving thousands of crores using all kinds of names. And also, if the companies who don't give electoral bonds, if they're able to generate the same kind of business growth as these companies which start in the middle of a pandemic and are able to give 20 crores, I think the Indian economy will be growing much faster, you know, maybe 20%. Anyway, I mean, jokes apart. So one of the major concerns, with the opacity of electoral bonds right from day one, even before the Supreme Court came into the picture, was the possibility of quid pro quo, which could be, quid pro quo could be in the form of bribery where you pay and then you get some preferential treatment in contracts, or it could be the form of extortion where a central agency is used to, intimidate a particular business and for some wrongdoing they may or may not have done, and then the business house pays them and then they are let off, you know. So extortion or bribery were like two forms of corruption that were on the minds of many who are critical of the electoral bond scheme from day one. So I was just wondering, what patterns have the data that you've analyzed so far yielded in this regard? I mean, we know that there have been companies which were under investigation, which were buying electoral bonds. True, but was there any pattern, like with regard to the dates of raids and the dates of purchase of bonds and so on?
So yes, it's interesting. So about before these alphanumeric numbers came to public domain, one of the most interesting things which we found was that many pharma companies like Hetero Drugs, Hetero Labs, which are both in the same group, MSN, Divi's Labs, Mankind, so Micro Labs, so all these pharma companies were all, raided by IT at some point of time, right? And also there are companies like, Lupin, Intas, Natco, which are all not raided by or searched by the IT, but they all had some problems with the US FDA because they were exporting drugs to the US. And so the FDA came and they inspected the site. They had wrote some scathing things. And so they were all in some trouble or the other, either by the IT or by FDA. So that's one thing which we found out. Now, there are other companies which also had problems, like, for example, Aurobindo Pharma. So this pharma company, as owner was arrested by the ED, right? And that is an interesting case which we taught. These are all before the alphanumeric. And once the alphanumeric numbers came, we had some links which we talk about in some time. And also there is this case of Shirdi Sai Electricals, which were also raided by the IT. And the Kalapataru Projects International, which was also raided by the IT. There was this case of Alana Group, who are the exporters of processed food, biggest exporters of processed foods, and one of them is meat. They were raided by ID. Future Gaming, the biggest donor in terms of donations, was raided by ED. And and also this firm called Keventer Agro, which is a sister concern of these three trioc of companies, Keventer Food Park and Madanlal and MKJ. So these three companies which donated about 200 crores, together about 570, 580 crores, their sister company called Keventer Agro got into trouble. They were raided by ED. So there are a lot of companies which we found, to be raided by the agencies or in some sort of trouble or the other. And then now with the, new alphanumeric numbers, which has come in, it is interesting to look at, who they donated to, right? So it's a mix of, when you see where their donations have gone to, it's a mix of both the center and the state in which they are operating, right? For example, Micro Labs. Now, Micro Labs is a very interesting case. Micro Labs were raided by the IT And the IT said that the company had indulged in some unethical practices. And they said the company had given freebies to medical professionals to about a tune of 1,000 crores. And so immediately this national pharmaceutical price, this all happened in around July 2022, mostly June, July 2022. And in the same month, about July, National Pharmaceutical Pricing Authority, which is the it's a government office, and they asked Indian Pharmaceutical Alliance (IPA) to investigate the matter. And this matter was investigated. By the way, Microlabs are the producers of Dolo 650.
Okay. Now it rings a bell. Dolo 650, I think everybody can relate to. Right. Okay.
Which sold like anything during COVID.
Yes.
So then, now after they were asked to investigate, in around September that year, they were cleared of all these charges. And the IPA said that this is not true. The IT department's observations are incorrect. Immediately, about a month later, so this happens in September, and in October, they go and purchase electoral bonds worth 6 crore. And around in a month, and then sometime later in November of the same year, they go and purchase for 3 crore. So, and then 7 crore in October.
So who have they been, who have been the redeemers of these bonds? Which party?
Now, the redeemers of these bonds are interesting. 6 crore of these bonds went to BJP. 7 crore of this bond went to Sikkim Krantikari Morcha. And about 3 crore to Congress, right? So it is a bit of a mix of a state and the center.
Okay.
Right? So also their journey, the electoral bond journey started after the clean chit. Right? So they get investigated and they are given clean chit and then they start buying the bonds. Right? So that's an interesting thing. Hetero Drugs, Hetero Labs and Hetero Biopharma, three companies, they together donated around, I think, 60 to 70 crore. About 50 crore went to Bharat Rashtra Samiti, BRS, and about 10 crore to BJP. So in all these mixes, you will see somewhere either a national party, BJP, to be in the top of the list or in the mix.
Is there any case of a single electoral bond donor who has not given to the BJP?
Is there any case of any donor you're asking or of these companies?
Any corporate donor, not individuals, corporate donor, say who has donated about 10 crores or whatever. Is there any such case who has not given any money to the BJP? Or is everybody, even if they're buying 100 rupees, they're giving 5 rupees to the BJP? Is that how it is?
Now, that is how mostly it is. Now, I cannot vouch for all the corporate donors because it's a huge list, but of the top 20 donors, or actually to be more precise, of the top 19 donors, everybody has given some amount or the other to the BJP. Now, it can either be, for example, in the case of Quick, which is a Reliance company related to Reliance, 95% of all their donations have gone to the BJP and they are the third biggest donors, if you see individually. And there is the case of Mail. So Mail gave, I think, around 584 crores to the BJP. Now that is the biggest donation given by a single company to a single party, right? So like that, it varies.
And Mail has been getting. It's in the infrastructure sector, right? It's been getting some.
Mail is an interesting company. It has a lot of projects states in Telangana, in Andhra, and Mail has also given some money to DMK. Mail has given money to BJP Congress, and it has a wide arm. Now, one of the very interesting things about Mail, which has came to light recently, is that they are one of the biggest projects is this Kaleshwaram lift irrigation project in the Godavari River in Telangana. Now, that is touted as this world's biggest such project or something. Now, in February this year, just about a month or two back, CAG went and audited the project. And they found widespread irregularities in the scheme. And they said around, it could have costed the exchequer around 2,000 crores. because of various irregularities in this. This was a CAG audit filed on the project.
So the CAG audit found irregularities to the tune of 2,000 crores, and this company has donated like more than, this was the biggest donor to the BJP, but it has never been raided by ED or summoned by the IT or whatever.
As far as I know, mail has not come under the ED or the IT purview, right? But this is a very vast list, and we have been getting, but I have not seen a story which names mail in the IT or ED rights, right? So that is one thing. Let's go to Mankind. Mankind Pharma, which is also came under the ED IT purview, gave all the two, I think they gave 24 crores. Purchased 24 crores in electropons, everything went to BJP. Aurobindo Pharma is an interesting case.
Yes, so I was going to ask you about Aurobindo Pharma anyway, because the arrest of Arvind Kejriwal, the sitting Delhi chief minister, is in the news. It happened yesterday. And one of the directors of Aurobindo Pharma was one of the main accused. And then he turned approver. So his testimony and statements to the ED would constitute part of the evidence in the case, and he has donated to the Aurobindo Pharma has purchased electoral bonds, and he has made donations to the BJP. So I was just curious to know what exactly are the details of Aurobindo Pharma's donations and the timeline, you know.
That's correct. Aurobindo Pharma's director Sarath Reddy, I think he was arrested by the ED on around November 10, 2022. Yes. So there was alleged involvement in this now scrapped liquor policy of the Delhi government. So there were some irregularities the ED found, and they arrested him. Now, immediately, 5 days after the arrest, on November 15 of that year, the company went and purchased about 5 crore. Worth of bonds. All these bonds went to the BJP, right? So that's one interesting case. And totally, I think Aurobindo Pharma has purchased around 34.5 crore. Totally, they have given to the BJP 34.5 crore, the highest for among all the parties they have given to. They have also given 15 crore to the BRS again, and about 2.5 crore to the Telugu Desam Party. So it's a mix, again, as I said. I don't want to draw connections, but I'm just putting these two together in a pedestal and then, showing the correlation. So their electoral bonds, they did purchase before the arrest, yes, but it zoomed after the arrest. And 5 days immediately after the arrest, there was a 5 crore. And then around 1 year later, there was 25 crore. And the biggest beneficiary, about 34.5 crore, is to the BJP. And also a mix of state parties. So this pattern of, the center getting a cut and the state parties also getting a cut from this electoral bond of all these troubled firms is follows throughout the list. As I mentioned before, this Kalpataru projects, which are also raided by the, IT or IT agency. And they also donated about 25.5 crore worth of bonds all to the BJP. My Home Infrastructure, which also came under, scanner, they donated about 15 crore to BRS, 5 crore to BJP, 4.5 crore to Congress. So again, a similar mix.
Right. So one of the critical reasons, Vignesh, why the electoral bonds are said to undermine a level electoral playing field is this information asymmetry. The party in power has a 360-degree command over all the electoral bond data, who's giving how much to whom, because the union government is the owner of the State Bank of India, which is the only entity which handles these electoral bonds. But the opposition only knows about their own donors, and the voters know nothing except what is disclosed, and they knew nothing until last week or this week. So to what extent would you say that the disclosures we've had over the last few days altered the information symmetry, or is this too little too late, or is there still some information that we are missing?
So, I would say this is remarkable. Actually, once the Supreme Court ruled that SBI has to, disclose all the data, and they pursued it for days. First, when they asked for time, They said, why you need time, and you can, if it is available directly, just release it. And there are so many data scientists in India, they will deal with it. You don't have to connect it. And then they immediately released it. And then came this, immediately they took up this problem. They said that you have to disclose all the information. And they were said, why didn't you disclose this this particular number? You should do so. So there was this constant pressure on either which on the bank, which made sure this information is out in the public domain now, which we may not have had otherwise. Now one of the biggest reasons in the Supreme Court judgment, which they had said, is they have talked about information asymmetry in at length. See, one of the thing is that SBI now, though we have been hearing some, very varying versions from the court and the lawyers of the SBI or the government when they argue, they have been giving various versions. For example, maybe 2 to 3 days back, I heard their SBI's lawyer saying that this information is not maintained at the redeemer's end. It is only maintained at the, when the bonds are purchased. And there are also questions raised. There was also things raised, like, for example, it was cited as a security feature. The number, the unique number, is there only as a security feature. It is not there as a data to be collected. We have not done it. So a lot of claims which have been made in the court, but the moment the court said, no, you have to do it, and they have come up with it in days, that's actually very, is mysterious, and it should be also, there should be some questions raised about it. We have to pursue that. Now, in the judgment, they have talked specifically about this information asymmetry, because all this while, the SBI had this on their table. Now, they had asked initially, if you remember, they had asked time till, I think, June 30. So for an information, including this alphanumeric, they have asked information for till June 30. So it is just March 21, they release the data. So which means this has always been there on the table. It was some reluctance on I don't know whose part to release this data to public domain, and unless the constant pressure, this would not have come. Now, if SBA had this information, then the court's argument and also the perception that we can get is that the ruling party will have this information also. Like, it's about just asking, can you please send me over this information, and then they have to, they can't say no, because they are a government bank. So this problem is what is cited in the by the court also, that this creates a dichotomy where the ruling party will know who is donating to them, that they know already, who is donating to other parties. In fact, I think if I read it right, in one of the cases of one of the companies, the IT raid went, and one of the biggest they unearthed, the information that they unearthed was that they gave money to Congress, right? So these are all mysterious circumstances where they go and they say IT goes and unearths, and one of the biggest findings is that they gave money to Congress. How did they come to know that to go and raid, or is it something circumstantially they went and then they got this information? So these are all hard questions that needs to be raised. And now, coming to this part of, is this too little too late? Now, two things which are interesting which happened are, when the first list came, if I'm not wrong, if I understand it right, I think when the first list came, the two silos, CAA was notified. Maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong. And when the second list came today, which is with the number which can connect, Delhi CM got arrested. So see, there is some kind of a headline management also going on, where when important, some information, which, people have been seeking for a long time, they are going to come to the public domain. Things which have been delayed for years, like CAA get notified, and this ED struggle with Delhi CM has been going on for some time. And today this gets released. Within hours, he gets arrested. This information has to, percolate to the public. Now, is it too little too late? It depends on two things. One, how much of this information is translated to regional languages, right? So you only, I believe, the impact of this electoral bond scheme or the data which has been released depends on how many people, how many regional papers, TV newsrooms are talking about it, discussing it, unearthing new details. As of now, it's mostly limited to English newspapers or magazines or some magazines, right? It has to, whether it is too little, too late, it will only determined by the extent of how much is being discussed on media and how much it reaches to people before the elections start.
Right. Thank you so much, Vignesh. That is, I think, really perceptive, especially the points made about the timing of the CAA and the Kejriwal arrest and so on. One last question before we wrap up. We're running out of time. So does the fact we know now, for example, that the BJP has got the lion's share of the bonds, a little more than half or around about half, whereas every other party put together hardly make up half of. So this is a huge asymmetry. We spoke about information asymmetry. This is also, it's a much bigger asymmetry in terms of monetary power and capacity to contest elections and influence public discourse. And so does the fact that most of the bonds purchased by firms as well as individuals included, including many of them which were under the scanner of investigative agencies, these bonds were redeemed by the ruling party, which controls these agencies. Does this suggest that there was a quid pro quo and hence, quote unquote, legalized corruption, or is it a connection we cannot yet make?
We can make these connections in certain cases. Now, for example, I told you about Aurobindo Pharma. So 5 days after arrest, they go and purchase bonds and everything goes to the center, the BJP. There are cases like Michael Ups. Now, another thing which I told before, which I would recall, is that all the top 19 firms, which are the biggest donors of electoral bond, have all given some cut or the other to the BJP, right? So even the biggest donor Future, though they may have given money to the TMC, the DMK, about 100 crores have also gone to the BJP. MAL's biggest single biggest donor to any party is to the BJP. There are other things like you cited all the pharma companies which came under EDIT scanner have given some money or the other. So this is how. So this is how this asymmetry, even in terms of the bond encashments, have been like you said, about 50% of all the encashments through this electoral bond scheme is done by the BJP. So it is so in some cases it is a very clear cut case where they were raided, like for example maybe in the cases of Microlabs. So Microlabs electoral bond journey starts only after they get raided and then they get a clean sheet. So there is a case for that to be investigated. Aurobindo Pharma, there is a case for that to be investigated. And Mankind, it also happened at the moment they get raided and then their electoral bond journey starts. So there are so many companies which were not in the scene at all. Which is, in fact, there are some companies which are never donated at all, even before electoral bonds, which we are investigating right now, where we are going and seeing whether these companies have ever donated to any party, whether it be BJP or Congress or anybody, which have never donated at all, did they come under the EDIT purview and then immediately started donating through this electoral bond scheme? So that is a very clinching thing, because if there are parties if there are firms who donated before also and have also donated to electoral bonds, then maybe we can ratify. But there are so many firms which has, for example, there are firms which are unheard of. Like, for example, there is a firm called Chennai Woods, some construction company. Green Woods or something like that. So there are companies which we have never even heard of.
There are also companies, companies which have never made any donations to any political party. Suddenly they discover their political consciousness and start donating, start buying electricity.
Not heard of.
Yeah, and also companies which have donated but never to the BJP and now they start donating to the BJP. I think there are cases of that as well.
Yes. So there are companies which has always donated to the Congress. But after the scheme, they started donating to the BJP. Now, that is an interesting case too, whether we have to go and see, for example, future. We have to now go and see the timeline of when the 100 crores started, whether it is after the ED or before that.
So, Vignesh, we were talking about, you know, whether there is enough in the data which has come out so far to form grounds for opening an investigation into some of these cases where there is likelihood of a quid pro quo.
So, let me answer this in three ways. One, we have to take specific instances of, let's like in the case of Aurobindo Pharma, where an arrest happens of their head is getting arrested. Immediately, 5 days later, 5 crore worth of bonds bought and all goes to the BJP. There are cases like I said, Microlabs. So there is a diversification of funds. One pharma company giving to 5 different parties immediately after, or 3 different parties, one of them biggest donations to BJP. Immediately after, IT comes, raids it, and then clinch it given by an agency, a government agency. And then their electoral bond journey starts. So all these companies whose electoral bond journey or donations or purchases starts after they get raided, or they get after they get raided and then the clean sheet is given, or they get arrested, following which they buy bonds, all these things are worth separate investigations. One. Two is, there are so many unknown companies which are all, there is a company in Kolkata, sorry, I forgot his name, but it is in losses. There are so many companies which are making losses, but have donated in 100 crores, 200 crores. There are so many companies which are not heard of, which has donated about more than 50 crores, 60 crores. Some of the companies have not, he doesn't even have a website. So what are these companies? What do they do? How do they earn? What is their balance sheets? Right? In MCA, in the Ministry of Corporate Affairs, these companies are listed. Yes. But when you go to the documents section, where MCA usually hosts their annual reports, they have not submitted a single document at all in their 5 to 6 years of existence. And their managing directors are not owning any of the companies. Just this company started. And then there are no documents, but they have given around 180 crores, about 200 crores, right? So, and they are also, there are companies where we know the balance sheets and they are making losses. And they are donating about 100 crores, 60 crores. These are all worth the investigations. How did they do it? Where is this money from, right? The third very interesting case, and there are one more case. The third interesting case is new companies. How did some companies, especially in Hyderabad, were started in 2023, and 1 month later they donated bonds, not just 1 or 2 rupees, but 5 crores, 10 crores, right? Immediately after starting a company. So who are these companies? Who owns these companies? What do they manufacture? How are they able to accumulate so much of money within some short? There are companies which started bang in the middle of the pandemic. In 2020, March, April, when the economy is in downturn, people are suffering, jobs were lost, they couldn't go and work. 2021, again, when the second wave happened and the economy is in crisis. In fact, 2019 is when the economy started tanking. There are companies which started in 2019, 20, 21, and immediately when the economy is in downturn, in 1 year or two, they were dominated not in just 1 or 2 crore, but more than 20 crores, 30 crores, right? Within 1 year. This is a fresh line of investigation that has been done. The fourth very mysterious thing which has happened is, which we can do investigate ourselves, is that in one of the instances, the redeemers, in one of the windows, I think one of the sale windows is around 28th or 29th sale window. I don't know exactly. I'm looking at it. The redeemers have redeemed 5 crores more than what was purchased in that window. Right? Now, this is only possible if some party had an expired bond in their hand and somehow managed to encash it. Right? So, this is very clearly written. In the return rule that you have to, from the issue of the date of the bond, within 15 days, you have to encash. So how come around 5 crore to 6 crore of money in one of the windows, the party which I am able to, which I will look for the party now today, I was able to redeem more than what is encash more than what is purchased in that window. So these are all hard questions which we can ask and pursue. Some committee should be set up to investigate all these things individually, so that we can go. Another thing which you mentioned before, companies which have never donated at all suddenly started donating after electoral bond. Companies which have been donating only to certain parties and suddenly started donating to the BJP. After EDIT came under scanner, right? All these things are fresh, lines of investigations which has to be done.
Right. Thank you so much, Vignesh. I think that's a very detailed and comprehensive rundown of the various grounds or lines of inquiry, for which the electoral bond disclosures have opened up. And let me just quickly go through it, for the benefit of the listener. One is, of course, the Aurobindo Pharma model, so to speak. You start donating as soon as once the EB, as in your electoral bond journey starts with an ED or an IT raid or a summons. Then secondly, you have all these unknown companies which don't even have a website donating, number two. Number three, companies which are loss-making, which are making huge donations. Number four, companies which have never donated to the BJP, they start donating after electoral bonds. Then number six, which we discussed briefly, companies which have been making huge donations and they have won contracts but which have been flagged as having irregularities, like the case of one of these construction infrastructure companies, which is CAG has flagged for 2,000 crores worth of irregularities. Then you have companies which start and immediately start donating, a huge number of crores, like the companies I mentioned, which started during the pandemic when the economy was in a crisis. They are suddenly able to donate 15 crores, 20 crores, 6 crores, and God knows what do they manufacture that they're able to make so much money to be able to afford such donations. And then there are, of course, the expired bonds as well, which it has been sort of marginally reported, here and there, about expired bonds being encashed. So there are all these questions which can only be answered through a thorough investigation, as you suggested. Maybe a committee has to be formed, maybe a Supreme Court-helmed probe is necessary. But there is clearly grounds for investigation. Thank you so much, Vignesh, for coming on board for this podcast and sharing your very detailed analysis and observations on this entire set of disclosures. Absolute pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Sampath. Thank you.
In Focus will be back soon with analysis of the biggest news issues. In the meantime, you can find our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and other platforms. Just search for In Focus by The Hindu. We'll see you soon.